Okie dokie, looks like we have everyone here. We will go ahead and get started. Welcome to Informal Spaces. We try to do these every week, but our team has been heads down with the funding proposal. So thanks for being patient with us while we get that done. You can follow Informal Inc. and Hyphidez Cosmos on Twitter for recap and reminders for any spaces and any important news. Please give both us and Hyphidez Cosmos a follow. And you can join us on the forum for feedback on the prop as well as discussion on any other proposals. Just a little bit of housekeeping before we get started. Legal disclosure, anything we talk about in this spaces is not investment advice. It's just an insight into what we're doing. And you can read the Informal Systems blog for more information. Today, we'll be talking about the community pool funding proposal that Informal Systems and Haifa Co-op have put together for hub development in 2024. We'll be talking about some key points as well as some feedback that we've received in our response to that. We want this to be an open but healthy discussion about the funding prop, so feel free to raise your hand and we'd be more than happy to have you speak. And please keep things polite and professional. We have a lot to cover today, so I'm just going to dive right in. We'd love to talk about some of the feedback that we received and share with you how we feel about those things. Jahan, if you want to start going through some of the content that we have, if you want to first talk about maybe the omnibus proposal section.
Yeah. So we've written this proposal. I mean, first of all, it is a proposal with Haifa and Informal. We work really closely together. We talk almost every day, probably. It is a proposal from both teams together. It's a proposal which includes the proposal, includes hub maintenance, which part of that is done by Haifa in terms of like kind of the operational stuff, test nets, and just also responding to operational issues and whatnot on the mainnet. It also includes maintenance stuff from our team at Informal, which is cutting releases for the hub, updating dependencies, stuff like this, just keeping. Producing the software. And then it also moves into stuff where it's like more into R&D stuff. So it has also, it also has a section of the budget for basically ongoing development of interchain security. That's also partially maintenance because there's updates, of the code base and stuff for new versions and things like that. And whatever, fixing, improving things. Right now, for example, we're working on simplifying the protocol. And then there's also an R&D section, which is more about research and development, but it is also focused on interchain security. So that's kind of our focus. It's like the lowest layer. It's the kind of the base layer. And so our R&D things are about interchain security, and there were some criticisms, though, from Rama. Rama did a really good and very complete response to our post. He was actually able to do the response even before the post was on the forum. One of the things he was saying was like, "Hey, this is an omnibus proposal. It should be you should have one for maintenance, and then you should have the R&D things as separate items." for us, that's not something, I mean, it's something we're willing to consider, but it's not necessarily something that I feel is kind of the best sort of, like utilization of resources. I think, the R&D that we do, it's not random things, we're just coming up completely new directions, and working on, you know, other things. It's R&D on entertainment security. And I think there's a really big benefit from having the same engineers work on actual, you know, maintenance and work on R&D. So, for example, you know, it's like and it benefits both activities actually. So maintenance is benefited by having engineers that worked on R&D because they, you know, they in a lot of cases thought of these protocols and understand them at a very deep level, and so they're more effective maintaining them. And then also R&D benefits from maintenance because if you have engineers working on R&D and they've been involved in maintenance, it's like they also have kind of they know about what are the problems that come up in production, what is it important to think about. So I think for us, you know, right now it doesn't seem like it would be the best use of resources, the best path for us to split it up, because we then have to ask, like, what happens if one of these proposals passes and the other doesn't? Like, let's say that the R&D proposal passes and the maintenance proposal doesn't. Then it's like, we're doing R&D, but it's not even clear how it's going to get on the hub. But that's probably less likely. Let's say that the maintenance proposal passes, the R&D doesn't. Then our team is, at that point, I think it's unclear, like, how the product's going to get developed further. We're also going to be, you know, stuck. We're going to just be doing maintenance. So we're kind of going to be stuck with one feature set. And it's also just like, we have pretty high caliber engineers on our team. You know, we have at least two engineers with PhDs. Having the R&D, it's like, I don't want to say like we want to do R&D for fun, but it's like, it's kind of a complete package. Like, people want to work on innovating and then also bringing their stuff to production. So I think for all those reasons, we don't necessarily think it's a good idea to split them out. But yeah, I don't know. I've talked long enough here probably.
Yeah, I think that was like a good overview, like kind of the R&D section of the proposal. Maybe we can go into kind of like more about the accountability in terms of that. I know posted something about CHIPS, which I think is an awesome name. But Jahan, do you want to explain what CHIPS are?
The CHIPS process, it actually originally it came from we had been thinking about it for at least a few months. You know, there's this in Ethereum, they use actually in Bitcoin too. They use this EIP process, where Bitcoin is called BIPs, and it's Ethereum Improvement Proposal. And so a lot of the stuff on Ethereum that gets implemented on Ethereum starts as an EIP. And an EIP is kind of a document that sort of sums up what is to be created. And so we think that on the Cosmos Hub, it would also be good to have a more formalized process. For like having improvements to the hub, like move through a process, so you kind of know where they are, what stage they're at, and stuff like that. And so we came up with the CHIPS process, and it actually includes there was this Cosmos Improvement Proposals, which is basically like the EIP. That's actually one step of the process, but the CHIPS process sort of encompasses more of the complete life cycle than just like the EI, the CIP is kind of just the specification. So basically there's a few different phases. And then we got comments, you know, especially from Rama on the R&D accountability. And so while we don't think it makes sense to break up our R&D and maintenance activities, we also completely understand, the desire to have accountability around the R&D. You know, it's Yeah, we totally understand. People don't want us. They don't want to pay, you know, millions of dollars to have a bunch of engineers just working on cool software and being like, "Hey, check out this cool code," you know. So we completely are on board with that, and so we hope that we can kind of address that through the CHIPS process. And so the CHIPS process maybe can also be used by other teams adding things to the hub, but definitely for us, for the accountability, it could be a big piece of that. So basically, there's 10 stages. The last six stages are actually more about the process of kind of getting it into a release and on the hub. But the first four stages are more relevant to R&D. And so the first one is the discussion phase. And the discussion phase is more, it's kind of more freeform. It's not really, it's, you know, it's you're supposed to have a discussion about a kind of a proposed feature or even just a proposed research direction. And so right now, in our in you know, R&D stuff on our roadmap on the prop, we had two major things, and one is Atomic IVC. We want to do research on that and see if that can work with this Megablocks architecture. And then the other one is partial set security, which will make it so only some of the validators have to run actual nodes of the consumer chain, but it's still secured by the entire stake of the hub. So those are these two directions we're going in, and so we've actually put both of those into the discussion phase on the forum. So they are they're basically they're up there to be discussed. So there's a little bit of discussion happening about them, and we've written up kind of exactly, you know, what we want to do. Then there's the second stage of the specification, and that's where you actually start getting into maybe digging into the code a little bit and really figuring out like what is the exact code that we need to write, that we need to change. And it's kind of taking what was discussed and any changes from the discussion and finalizing it. And so it's like, I guess I'll get through the before stages first before I talk. So then there's after that there's the prototyping stage. So the prototyping stage is like you do you know you do some kind of implementation, a prototype implementation to kind of figure it out, and that's going to also inform the specification from step two. And then there's also the after that there's the signaling phase. So that's where you have a signaling proposal saying we want this on a hub. And then after that, there's also the implementation phase where you kind of get it ready to go on the hub. But in any case, with these stages, what we're trying to do is make sure that at every stage before we spend a significant amount of time on any of these ideas, we have brought it in front of the community and brought it up for comment. And open it up to discussion about whether we should be spending time on it. And that's kind of the goal. So we want to have the ability for the community to have input on our process and say, "Hey, don't spend a bunch of time specifying this because it's a bad idea," or whatever. So that's kind of the idea there is to, you know, to have a discussion at every stage of the process of R&D, having a discussion about what's going on and how and whether it's worth pursuing. And it might be that we get to, you know, maybe we get to stage two, you get to the specification stage, you spend a lot of time thinking about it, and you realize, you know, there's this problem with this protocol. You might not have realized it during the discussion phase, but you didn't need to actually go to the prototype phase to realize it. And so that's the kind of thing where, you know, we could bring that up then and say, well, should we continue trying to prototype this, or does it seem like it's too problematic? Just an example of how that could work. So yeah, that ties back to the financial accountability. So we have this oversight committee, and we have quarterly reports. And so we'll be detailing what stage various pieces of R&D are in the CHIPS process in those quarterly reports. And that's something that's going to be published for the public. And then also it's something that the oversight committee can have more of a also comment on, have a say on, and say, "Hey, you know, I don't think you guys have been, you know, you guys spent a bunch of time on this and you didn't even do a CHIPS proposal for it first. So what's going on?" So they can kind of look, you know, validate that we're following the process, as well as making determinations about, you know, the content of what we're doing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thanks for explaining and walking through that. I think that's personally a pretty robust way to go about the kind of nebulous process of R&D. I know you touched a little bit on like oversight and schedule of work and things like that. Lexa, do you want to dive into your sections?
Yes, I freaking love schedules. Makes me somewhat unpopular sometimes in our work here, but schedule wise, you know, it's hard to do for R&D. a lot about that already. So on the Haifa side, the place where we work with informal is in the maintenance and testing. And so on the forum, I have what I think is a pretty spiffy looking diagram that walks through our maintenance schedule and how we go from a release candidate produced by the informal hub team that then goes through local and automated testing from the Haifa side. And then we do upgrades on our two testnets, this being the release testnet, sometimes called the theta testnet, and then the replicated security testnet, which is the one where we are essentially trying to duplicate the Cosmos hub. All throughout that process, of course, we are doing underlying work, the informal hub team on various ICS and Gaia development. That never really stops, even though it's represented as like a month's worth of work at a time. It's really ongoing at all times. Just like for Haifa, we are always developing tests and upgrading our automated testing suites. So over the course of about 8 weeks, we take a release candidate out and we get it through the two test nets and then out onto mainnet through the governance process. And these schedules overlap. So we will typically have like one in testing and one heading to mainnet. And that just iterates over the entire year for a goal of releases over the entirety of 2024. All of that is dependent, of course, on like Cortec version updates and what features get integrated into each release. So while we can say that we're aiming for 8 releases, which would be 2 per quarter, we can't really speak to exactly what goes in quite yet. The other major schedule that we tend to adhere to at Haifa is the consumer chain launch schedule for rehearsals. On testnet Wednesdays, we typically will do a chain upgrade or a launch, sometimes both. And that's like a 2-week lead time process during which we work with the consumer chain teams to get their sovereign app chain binary ready and onboard all of our testnet validators onto that network. Then we work with them to get their post-transition binary ready, and that's the binary that would go through governance on the Cosmos hub. So we do our local testing on that, and we prep it and get it ready for validators to practice the sovereign to consumer transition. All of this culminates in Testnet Wednesday, and then the consumer chain team moves on to governance, and if and when they pass hub governance and end up doing a mainnet launch, then the full Haifa team and many of the informal hub team members are on call for the launch call, which could go up to 8 hours if history repeats itself. But part of our goals is to make that process smoother. And that's also one of the KPIs that I think particularly Haifa can be measured by, is the operational smoothness involved in things like mainnet Gaia upgrades and launch and upgrade processes. Just knowing that the more we test, the more due diligence we do on the code before it hits mainnet, the smoother things are and the less time it takes. Lately, Gaia upgrades have been really tight. Sometimes I don't make it into the meeting because it's already happened. And I'm like 5 minutes late and the upgrade is done. So that feels great.
Awesome. I think that kind of covers like all of the big points of the responses that we've given and the feedback that we've received. I want to take a pause right now and see if there's anyone in the audience that has any feedback live or has any questions. But feel free to raise your hand at any point in this. In this talk. But right now I want to pass it on to Udit. Another big section that I'm sure many people have questions about is our liquidation phase of this whole thing that would enable us to go forward with the entire proposal. Udit, do you want to take it from here?
Hi, yeah. This is Udit from Haifa. Like Isabel said, one of the things that we have been talking about with this proposal is exactly how the liquidation is going to happen. So just to remind everybody, what is the end state that we're looking for here? The end state is we have, you know, the full amount of Atom converted into USDC sitting in vesting wallets on the Cosmos Hub. So converted into USDC and sitting in vesting wallets, and that those vesting wallets will unlock over the course of the year pay out both Informal and Haifa. There'll be one wallet each for Informal and one for Haifa. And the idea behind having these vesting wallets is that it allows the Hub community to have the ability to to take back our funds if we are not performing to the level that we need to be. And this can happen through a software upgrade proposal. This idea has been kind of explained in the proposal itself. One thing that has not been explained yet, and this is something that we're kind of working through right now and thinking about a lot, is what are the mechanics for getting this Atom, once it's the spend proposal goes through, if it goes through, to USDC. And so we've considered several different options here. One option is to try to find some sort of automated mechanism that can automatically, receive USDC. Perhaps this is a smart contract on Neutron, to receive USDC, receive Atom from the Cosmos Hub, take this Atom and convert them through some sort of mechanism to USDC. So this could be either on a DEX or through like an auction system or something like this. One project that in the future might be able to do this is TimeWave. This is a project that I'm also involved in. But however, currently it's not ready. So we are looking at different options currently. Another option is that we have a multisig that holds, that is a sort of interim multisig that receives the funds directly from the Cosmos Hub. It converts the funds from Atom to USDC on a DEX. The problem here is that there isn't quite deep enough liquidity in a lot of DEXs. And so we'll have to carry out this process in through multiple transactions over time, giving enough time for arbitragers to balance the pools. And the last option, which is the one that we've been leaning towards, is doing this transaction, this large transaction, via an interim multisig on a centralized exchange. And the benefit here is that there's high enough trading volume that there's going to be very limited price impact. And there's plenty of available liquidity. However, one concern here is that we've planned this entire kind of like accountability process of having vesting wallets and so on. However, in this first early stage, we're putting some amount of extra additional trust on the multisig to carry out this transaction with the centralized exchange here. So this is something that we've been thinking about. Our opinion currently is that using the centralized exchange to do the swap is probably the best approach. It's the simplest. It leads to the least price impact. However, there's some additional trust assumptions we have to make here. But before we put this up to vote, we'd love to get community input on how they feel about this approach.
And yeah, also, like, if there are... Oh, echo, sorry. And also, like, if there are any options we've missed, because we're thinking about it, but, we're a limited number of people. So if there's anything the community has in mind that hasn't occurred to us, that's super valuable as well. And we'd love to hear from you.
I see D here, Effort Capital. I was wondering, I know that you're into finance and things. So I was wondering whether you have any opinions on this.
Hey, everyone, can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, cool. You might hear some background music or noise. I'm currently playing with my daughter's jungle gym to keep her awake right now. So apologize to hear a lot of shaking. So I haven't commented on the forum regarding this. I talked to a couple of you on the side before, and I've been kind of giving this proposal a lot of thought. And that's why I really haven't like said anything in the forum yet. I think overall, I don't mind it. I don't mind kind of having this be one big funding proposal. I think what my overall takeaways are, what I think the two things that are missing is, like, it's great that we're trying to build on interchain security. I do think that's like the major value prop for the hub. Obviously, in addition to like potentially protocol and liquidity and whatnot, but that's a whole separate topic. But I think one thing that's missing is like the business development effort. So it's great that we're expanding the shared security features of the hub. I do think that it's, you know, killer tech. I think so far replicated security is, you know, a differentiator for now. And obviously, like, I know we've talked a lot about like security being a commoditized property over time, but regardless of that point, I think one thing that is missing is like just marketing the story of replicated security, what the Cosmos Hub offers, not just to sovereign chains and the ecosystem today, but the institutions of the world, Visas of the world, JP Morgan's, things like other TradFi and other like Web2 players that don't understand why they may need an app chain that like better makes their product better in the future, and also potentially like why leveraging the hub security to offload the cost of standing up their own chain and some of those like other overheads, like why they should leverage the hub security and replicate security or subset security, whatever it may be. So I would definitely like to see, maybe it's kind of already baked into that proposal. Maybe it's assumed that business development is part of this, but I don't see that. And I think maybe even if it's assumed that's already baked into that overall ask, I think having that explicitly called out would be really exciting to see, like from my perspective. You know, obviously some more work on like the KPIs. And then one other thing I think is what I struggle with, and this is not necessarily like an informal or HIFA issue, it's more so like where the funding comes from and who should be funding what. Like, I'm not going to belabor the topic around the ICF, but one thing that I think is critically important is if this is work that's going to be done on behalf of the Cosmos Hub, like the work that you guys do can also be taken to Osmosis or other chains in the Cosmos ecosystem. Like, the Hub, yes, is the premier shared security provider in the Cosmos today, but that might not be in the future. And any work you guys do can technically be ripped and used by other Cosmos chains, right? So I think it's going to be, and I know that there was some work or comments brought up in the forum, potentially from Rarma, about like legal like documentation or having some kind of license that's owned by the DAO so that the work that you guys do is owned by the Cosmos Hub community. Like, that's ultimately like having IP that's owned by the DAO or owned by the community itself, I think could be where the value lies in the long term. I know neither of you, your teams today are like legal experts, but I do think it's critically important that there is some kind of IP like security or something like that. I don't know the exact wording, but I think we need to ensure that whatever work you guys do is owned by the hub if the hub is paying for it, or else like if this is just shared security work that can be copied by any other Cosmos chain without that IP protection, then I would say like, why shouldn't the ICF fund this if this is still like part of the overall interchain stack? But overall, I'm in favor of like the proposal. I think those are the kind of things that I think may be missing that I would personally like to see.
Yeah, that's a good point. We didn't actually address that here, so thanks for bringing that up. So we're definitely also in favor of that. But yeah, we're not lawyers. There are lawyers working on this. I know that Gabriel Shapiro, Flexnode. He's not necessarily in the Cosmos ecosystem, but he has had some interactions and he's kind of thinking about this kind of stuff. So the difficult part is like, you know, are there legal precedents for like a DAO owning, you know, owning a IP license? I don't know. I don't really know. And one of the things also is that like you also think about like, let's say we do write up some license, we come up with it and we put it on our code. There's like a few bad things that is, I think it's I want to open a discussion about this actually, because it's a pretty interesting topic. Always fun to be like an armchair lawyer, I guess, but it's like, there's a few bad things that can happen. There's two kinds of bad things that happen. One is that like, it doesn't protect anything and it doesn't even matter and people use it anyway. And then the other one is that people that you want using the code are afraid to use it. So like, let's say you have a JP Morgan comes in and wants to do a consumer chain. And they're like, hey, wait a second. This got this weird ass license on it. Legal is not okay with this. We can't go with this, you know? that's like kind of, so it's, I think it's totally, I think it's probably possible, you know, to come up with something, but it needs to be done. It needs to be done. It needs to be done right. But definitely for our part, I'll say that whatever license the community agrees on signaling proposal, we're definitely happy to work with. So I work under and license our code under it.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting if, I agree, like this is kind of new territory. I think that there are some licenses that might be owned by DAOs and like potentially the Arbitrum ecosystem or even Osmosis, right? I think like the fee abstraction module is somehow owned by the DAO or Osmosis. I don't know exactly what the legal structure looks like there or if there is any legal structure. So this is definitely not an easy question or like an easy something that we can just like snap our fingers and throw into the proposal. But I would ask that like some outside counsel is requested and part of like if we're going to make this one big proposal, which again, I'm in favor with because I do see some of the, you know, concerns with like, oh, if one thing gets funded if, and another thing doesn't, you lack continuity. It creates like issues around like security of employment from Inform on Hypo. So like I completely get all that. Like I do ultimately think the hub should be funding a lot of this work, if not all of it. But I do think it is critically important if we're making this one big proposal, part of it should be a BD, like if there should be a BD scope that's specific so that we're making sure that we're not just building this stuff and nobody's going to come use it. There's an effort into the BD effort. And also there's effort around ensuring that like this is IP that is owned by the hub. And again, it's not an easy thing to answer. But I do think it's important that like that's part of the funding that if we're going to do this, let's just make sure we're doing it right.
Yeah, let me just address the BD too. You brought up actually a lot of good points. So on the BD, yeah, we do some BD. It's not a major part of the budget. But we so the Thyborg works at Informal, so we have in the headcount there we have one full-time employee equivalent split between Thyborg and Isabel, who's moderating this call right now. Isabel's on the marketing side, but basically, Thyborg has been able to make a huge impact, even though he's not even full-time on the hub team. However, you know, it's he's been doing BD like within sort of the Cosmos ecosystem, and I think you know Stride joined Interchain Security pretty much because of him. He drove, you know, obviously they decided to do it for their own reasons, but you know, he kind of drove it forward, and he's got like there's another, you know, another like eight or so, I think, consumer chains that he's got where people who want to be consumer chains, he's moving things forward. So that is part of the budget right now. Now we are actually below that headcount number that's in the proposal right now. So we could also reallocate from instead of like hiring one or more engineer, maybe hire somebody that's more on the BD. We've been talking internally, maybe someone who's like kind of between BD and product. But yeah, I guess you're also talking about what maybe there's BD where you look at like, you know, large institutions instead of like kind of probably what Thyborg is focusing on and what people generally focus on is kind of the, you know, it's kind of the existing Cosmos projects and stuff, but maybe there's also other angles on BD. So what I'll say on it is like, it's not necessarily a huge part of our budget. It's something we do, something we've probably been the main people doing. We might expand the efforts somewhat, but yeah, that's what I have to say about that. And there was something else that you, one other item you brought up, there's licensing the BD, and what was the other one, sorry?
I think I said like just, you know, more, and this is kind of brought up in the forums. I think Bar Rama and a couple other people is more just the KPIs to measure the progress of the team. But I think you kind of answered that. And I think that there will be some more explicit KPIs mentioned in the final prop, but I don't remember if there was something else that, was there something else that you think?
I can address the KPIs. I don't think so. Maybe not. I can address the KPIs really quickly. We've been thinking about this. We may be able to get some more stuff into the final prop. So there's the chips process, which is just kind of giving people the opportunity to sort of like, you know, check what we're doing and whatnot. There's that. But then also we're thinking about what are more concrete KPIs. One of the categories is obviously for measuring the success of Interchain Security. Obviously measuring the success of the hub, there's so many, like, you know, what do you go on? Like maybe, I guess maybe, like Twitter followers or you know, the Atom or something like that. But like for interchange security specifically, if you drill down, maybe you can get a little bit more exact. So one of the things is like quality and quantity of consumer chains. So I think we can also establish that these are important KPIs by working backwards, because if we think about, we get to next year, 1 year from now, end of 2024, and we still only have Neutron and Stride. You know, I think that would be a situation where we would say, well, you know, interchain security hasn't really been that successful. If it's been out for, you know, 2 years and only has two projects using it, right? That would not be. So I think from there we can work back and say, yeah, probably looking at the number of consumer chains is an important KPI. Now that doesn't guarantee they're all gonna be really good consumer chains, but due to the fact that they are approved by governance, like there is some quality bar, like if there just doesn't make sense for validators to run them, then it will be kind of like, you know, like having a lot of consumer chains also does kind of imply that, like, you know, there are a lot of consumer chains that have at least met the minimum bar from validators. And the other thing, looking at the raw number, the quantity, very simple, is also one of the issues with interchain security has been, one of the big complaints has been that it costs a lot for validators to run every individual chain, right? And so the more we make the protocol more efficient, you know, basically the lower the bar is for consumer chains. So that makes sense to track the quantity of consumer chains. So we may be tracking that. That's obviously very easy for anyone to track, common knowledge. But and then there's also the quality. So obviously, if you have a bunch of consumer chains that like nobody likes, and maybe we've gotten the protocol to run really cheaply, like we're using like a partial set security, which, you know, you effort capital here, you know, talk to help come up with that. I want to give them credit. You know, even if we make it a lot cheaper, but they're all crappy, like maybe that's also not that great, right? Like there's no good project right now at Stride and Neutron, actually, even though I have a low number, like they're both very, like, very high caliber projects. So we're really lucky with that. Tracking the quality is a little bit harder to define. But there are simple things you can look at. I mean, you can look at the TVL, just look at the combined TVL of all consumer chains. You know, that's, like, that doesn't tell you the whole story, but that's something. Also look at the combined market cap. I mean, that's even more basic. That also isn't the complete story, but it's also something. And then there's also, like, you could look at metrics like, you know, social media of, you know, the Twitter followers of the Twitter accounts of all consumer chains combined. I think you also get kind of, you know, again, it's like not a perfect metric or anything, but it's also potentially a KPI. So that's kind of some of the KPIs we were thinking about on the research front. And I think on the maintenance front, Lexa has covered those KPIs already, and those are a lot more simple and straightforward to track. So I'm not going to belabor those. I think she already talked about them, but yeah.
Yeah, I think you hit it all. I think my overall take is, and we had a whole space about this last week, like the hub and all of Cosmos has a distribution problem. Like the tech's incredibly sound. I think there's just a lack of, you know, misunderstanding of, or there's really no narrative, I think, like resonating with people outside the ecosystem. And if we want net new users, capital, liquidity, what have you, use cases, you know, I'm just going to go back. Like, yes, we BD is in.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ants dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting nodders. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss, and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, though the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner laced, acting non-toxic just to get a better place, smacking on the hostage like this shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines, they call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community, all these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege, commanding all the management to grab a few seats, and then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats, and if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Spaces.